Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 24. This is the reading of God's word. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city. Because these are days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be a great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, and will be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessing upon us. Thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, so our faith will grow, and with that growing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ more and more. And Father, through your word, let us have a fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and what he has accomplished for us. And Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us not only hear your word, but understand and believe and obey your word. And Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our Lord is accomplishing the kingdom of God. And let me repeat a few things, since it has been many weeks when we were studying the book of Luke. Well, God's kingdom comes with its king, Jesus Christ. And that's what his first coming is all about, is bringing in the kingdom of God, but only spiritually. And here in our passage, Jesus is answering the question, what's going to happen at the end? What's going to happen at the end of age? But if we understand the Bible correctly, the whole church age is the end of the age. Church age is the age in which the kingdom of God has been accomplished spiritually. So it is the thousand-year kingdom that the book of Revelation actually shows. It is the age in which the world is passing away, because that is the end. And it is the age in which the judgment of God has already begun. You know, when the end comes, the judgment of God comes. But the end is stretched out to, you know, long period. Jesus' first coming and Jesus' second coming. In between his first and second coming is the end. So when Jesus tells us what's going to happen at the end, he's actually telling us what's going to happen during the church age. Because whole church age is the end. This is the biblical understanding. Now, world has its own understanding of the end. And for the world, the end is always in the future. That's just how they have to understand it. But we have to understand these things in biblical terms. Now, the church age is also not only the end, but this is the age of the seven-year tribulation. Thus, depends on the perspective of how we are looking at this period. The pictures will be different. Looking the church age, the end, in the terms of the kingdom of God and in terms of God's judgment will obviously be different. So you need to understand in Luke chapter 21, God shows us this period in terms of God's judgment. So when you look at other parts of the Bible, which will show you that same period in terms of their heavenly realities, oh, then it will be completely different, you know, different pictures. But understand in Luke 21, God is showing us this period in terms of God's judgment. So God's judgment has already begun and it will culminate in the final, last judgment of God when Jesus returns. And there's one more thing you need to understand is that all these prophecies in the Bible, you know, in the New Testament, they are using the Old Testament language to show the future. Now, don't ask me why, that's just how it is. So, when you hear Jesus telling us what will happen at the end, and he describes it, all that language you could find in the Old Testament. Because there were typological end in the Old Testament, like Israelites, you know, destroyed by Babylonian kingdom, and they were exiled. So when God was expressing that war between Babylonian and Israel, Babylonian destroys Israel, that same expression you will see here today. Because this is how God is written. God uses Old Testament language to show the future. Because Old Testament typological events were actually pointing to the future events. Obviously, we've been talking about that for many, many years now. So, God has shown this judgment reality, even from the Old Testament. And let me read you Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. Near is the great day of the Lord. Near and coming very quickly. Listen, the day of the Lord. In it, the warrior cries out bitterly. A day of wrath is that day. A day of trouble and distress. A day of destruction and desolation. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and the high corner towers. And now in Jesus Christ, that day has come. Because Jesus brings the end. Because he is bringing the kingdom of God. And when end comes, well, God's judgment comes. So you put all these things together, it makes perfect sense. But if you don't know what's going on, man, it's going to be so confusing. So, when God used the Old Testament language to show the future, and he's describing in the Old Testament a typological event. So, when you apply to the future, a lot of those expressions will be symbols. But not all symbols. It will be a physical description of what will happen. But many times, you have to understand those things in a symbolical language. Because it was describing a typological event in the Old Testament. And here, in the prophecies, when you hear the word Gentile, you must understand that as a non-believer. Because again, it's using the Old Testament language. And in the Old Testament language, Gentiles were non-believers. So you bring it in the New Testament and you were Gentiles. So when you read the word Gentile in these prophecies, you might think, oh, that's me, I'm Gentile. No, no. It is expressed in terms of Israel. So when you read these things in the prophecies, you have to understand, you are the true Israel. And the non-believers are Gentiles. Romans chapter 2, verse 28a and 29a. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. So this is how you to understand the prophecies. Well, let's begin. Verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. Now, obviously, literally, it is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. But again, it is using the Old Testament language to show us the future. So not only it is describing the physical destruction of Jerusalem, but actually showing us the destruction of the whole world. Now, we have already seen this in Luke chapter 19, verses 43 through 44. God has been describing His judgment against Israel in the same language in the Old Testament. Isaiah 29, verse 3, I will camp against you, encircling you, just like how Jerusalem will be surrounded by the army. But in the Old Testament, same expression is used to describe God's judgment upon Israel. Isaiah 29:3, I will camp against you and circling you, and I will set siege works against you, and I will raise up battle towers against you. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 7 through 9, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and the house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out my sight. So Israel will become a proverb and byword among all peoples. And this house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone who passes by will be astonished and hiss and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? And they will say, because they forsook the Lord their God and brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and adopted other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this adversity on them. So God, in so many places, I mean, we will stay here all day if I were to read you all these Old Testament passages that God says that He will bring judgment upon people. So these verses describe the judgment of God upon them because of their sins. Amos 3, verse 1 through 2. Hear this word which the Lord has spoken against you, sons of Israel, against the entire family which He brought up from the land of Egypt. You only have I chosen among all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Micah 3, verse 12. Therefore, on account of you, Zion will be plowed as a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of ruins. And the mountain of the temple will become high places, a forest. Now, this phrase, being surrounded by armies. Well, it describes the situation in which the enemies are ready to attack and conquer. The complete destruction is inevitable. We are reminded of the event of conquering the Jericho. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Encircled. The walls of Jericho fell as they surrounded the city for 7 days. It will help us to understand the destruction of Jericho if we see it in terms of what we are looking at our passage. Because destruction of Jericho was also God's judgment upon the world that Jericho was representing. Now let's move on to verse 21. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city. The temple and the city of Jerusalem will be destroyed. It not only shows the destruction of Jerusalem, like I said before, but it also shows the reality of the last judgment of God over this sinful world. The Old Testament order is ending. It foreshadows the destruction of this world. But the visible destruction of this world will happen when Jesus comes back. God's judgment is coming, so those who are in the city must leave, and those who are outside of the city must not enter the city. All must flee. And we are reminded here of what God says to Lot in Genesis 19, verse 17. When they had brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away." Well, God was bringing judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The same thing is happening to Jerusalem. And what much worse thing will happen to this world when Jesus comes back. Jeremiah 49 verse 8, "Flee away, turn back, dwell in the depths, inhabitants of Dedan. For I will bring the disaster of Esau upon him at the time I punish him." Ezekiel 7 verse 16, "Even when their survivors escape, they will be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning, each over his own iniquity." Luke chapter 21 verse 22, "Because these are days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled." All of God's prophecies about his judgments are now being fulfilled. God's days of vengeance. That day is now come in Jesus Christ. But again, it is not the visible final judgment of God yet. But God's judgment begins at the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 26, verse 4 through 6. "And you will say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to listen to the words of my servants and prophets, whom I have been sending to you, again and again, but you have not listened. Then I will make this house like Shiloh, and this city I will make a curse to all the nations of the earth." Deuteronomy 32 verse 35, "Vengeance is mine and retribution. In due time their foot will slip, for the day of their calamity is near, and the impending things are hastening upon them." Jeremiah 5, 29, "Shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord? On a nation such as this shall I not avenge myself? And appalling and horrible things has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it?" I had to put that verse in because it's so, I like that verse. You know, prophets, false prophesy. So they preach the false doctrines. And people actually like it. See, this is the reality of the last judgment of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 through 9, "dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You know, some people might say, the good God, why would He bring these kind of judgment upon the world? Well, God is also righteous God. God has to judge sin. It's not the judges of this stupid world right now. Even though people sin, they don't judge. They let them go. But God cannot just let sinners go. He has to bring judgment. And if you really think about it, look at the world. I told you, 40 million babies die because of abortion every single year. 40 million. Murders. But they call it woman's right. If you're God, see 40 million babies die every year, what would you do? God is asking, shall I not revenge? Shall I not judge and punish these people? If you could take yourself little high in the sky, and you will see so many people and so many houses and so many buildings. Can you guess how many sinful acts are going on in those places? How so many people are going against God and sinning against God, and they think nothing of it. God will judge them. And God will judge us, but He already has done it. He judged us in Christ. That's the only difference. They do not fear God. Do you fear God? There's only one person you should fear, and that's God. Nothing else you should not fear but God. It's not okay to go against His word. It's not just trivial things that you just sin. You know, we just sin as if it's nothing. I do that too. I'm not better than you. But that is not okay. All the sinful acts that goes on in the world, can you handle that? God sees it, every sin that goes on. And not just physical sins, but in their thoughts. The sickening things that they think of. How can God not judge this world? How? And He will. It's already happened. And next week, we're going to see more of this. We must repent. Verse 23, woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress upon the land and the wrath to this people. The day of the judgment of God, even the people who are joyous because of the gifts of the new life are now under God's curse. In Amos chapter 5, verse 18 through 20, alas, you who are longing for the day of the Lord, for what purpose will the day of the Lord be to you? It will be darkness and not light, as when a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him, or goes home, leans his hand against the wall, and a snake bites them. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness instead of light, even gloom with no brightness in it? What is God saying here? So many will long for the day of the Lord, even though they do not understand, they do not know Jesus Christ, and they are not convicted of their sins, thus they do not repent, and yet they believe when God comes, they will be rewarded by God. They are actually longing for that day. No, God says it will be day of darkness. The day will be the eternal judgment of God for them. Jeremiah 46 verse 10, for that day belongs to the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, so as to avenge himself on his foes. And the sword will devour and be satiated and drink its fill of their blood. For there will be a slaughter for the Lord God of hosts in the land of the north by the river Euphrates. And when you look at the history, you know how many people died because of war, because of disease, because of sickness. And this is all because of God's judgment coming upon the world. And when you look at these things happening, I was going to say TV, but you guys don't watch TV anymore. When you see these things happening on your phone, do you repent? Because of sin that these things are happening. Verse 24, and they will fall by the edge of the sword, and will be led captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Zechariah chapter 7 verse 13, and just as he called, and they would not listen, so they called, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a storm wind among all the nations whom they have not known. Thus the land is desolated behind them, so that no one went back and forth, and they made the pleasant land desolate. What we read in our verse is similar to the time of Israel being exiled by the Babylonian Empire. Jeremiah 21 verse 7, then afterwards declares the Lord, I will give the Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants and the people, even those who survive in this city from the pestilence, the sword, and the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their foes, and into the hand of those who seek their lives. And he will strike them down with the edge of the sword. He will not spare them, nor have pity, nor compassion. In 70 AD, Jerusalem is completely destroyed, trampled underfoot, if you will, by the Gentiles because of his people's sin. The Roman general Titus conquers Jerusalem and destroys the temple completely. So you're already seeing foreshadows of what would happen at the end. Great distress. And next week, we're going to see so many people are so afraid of what will happen. They actually collapse. They actually die just by fear. Many, many worse will happen. I'm not trying to scare you, because God calls us to not be scared, even when you see these things. But can you imagine, somehow, by mistake, one push-up button of nuclear warhead, and it destroys one city? Can you imagine how scared people will be? But God says that these kind of wars will happen. And it's all because of our sins. People just don't repent of their sins. They don't change their evil ways. They think it's nothing just going against God. They think it's fun. Sinning here and there. But look at what happened. God shows what would happen when people do not repent. So in the Old Testament, there are so many places that God brings judgment upon His people because of their sins. Just to show us what would happen at the end. And that end has already come. It's urgent that we need to repent of our sins and live in that obedience to our God. Now, we must remember, even as we read God's prophecies of judgment to this world, we must remember that all the prophecies of Jesus Christ are already fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He received that judgment in our place. Now, if you truly understand what He has done for you, you're not going to use that as a license to sin more. But understanding the gospel will bring gratitude in your heart that you will now want to live for Him. And you will repent when you sin against Him. Psalm 22 verse 16, the psalm is about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It says, "For dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierce my hands and my feet." And you know what happened at the Mount of Gethsemane? Jesus was surrounded by the Roman soldiers and captured. Jesus was surrounded and captured, and bearing our sins, He is completely destroyed on the cross. He receives the eternal judgment of hell from God for our sins in our places. On the cross, He received the wrath of God that our sins truly deserve. Bearing our sins, He is captured and crucified. Jesus Christ, who is the true temple, was completely trampled underfoot by the sinners. He was describing what would happen to Himself, but also describing what would happen to this world, the sinful world who does not repent. But for you and me, He already received that judgment in our places. This is how you understand the Bible. Whatever you're reading is about Christ. That's the first. But secondly, you have to understand it is about us. The church is now invited to participate in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of what Jesus Christ has done and accomplished, the judgment of God now becomes the blessing of God for us. Yes, we too live our lives in this world in terms of being surrounded by this sinful world. But that is no longer judgment of God for us. In Ezekiel 38, we see Gog and Magog, the same person as the beast of the book of Revelation. This king brings many armies of the nation to attack the kingdom of God. That reality is shown in Revelation 20, verse 8 through 9. Those of you who come to Wednesday Bible study, we study this. Revelation 28-9, "And will come out to deceive the nations." Satan is released at the Antichrist crisis. So he will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on a broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And the fire came down from heaven and devoured them. Do you understand that Satan and his forces are surrounding the churches of God? You. To attack you. This whole world is surrounding us. Oh, they tell us what not to do. They tell us that is not cool. Whatever. But that's exactly what Jesus had to went through. Yes, we are surrounded by the sinful world, but we are not surrounded to receive the judgment of God. But the surrounding forces of Satan, they will receive the judgment of God. Yes, we are surrounded by this sinful world, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 10, we are afflicted in every way, meaning we are hard-pressed. We are surrounded. But, not crushed, perplexed, but not disappearing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Yes, we have two realities. We have visible realities where, you know, we see ourselves in this world, and we have spiritual realities, how we are now citizens of heaven. This is why in the world, even though you're surrounded, but you will not be crushed ultimately. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, yeah. But not forsaken, even as you are being persecuted, that doesn't mean God has forsaken you. No, it's contrary. Struck down, oh yes, we are struck down many times in this world, but it says, but not destroyed. We will not be destroyed. In Jesus Christ, in actuality, God surrounds you and me. Psalm 125, verse 1 through 3, those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abide forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of the wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, so that the righteous will not put forth their hands to do wrong. Brothers and sisters, yeah, the world will surround us and try to choke us to death. But you need to remember, God surrounds us. And He will protect us. Now, I'm not talking about physical protection. You might die in this world. But you are forever protected. Even evil one, even Satan cannot harm you when it comes to protecting you spiritually. Yes. God is with us, and brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, expect to be trampled underfoot by this world. Oh, they will crush you sometimes, but you understand, you will not be crushed. Yeah, they will force you to do things that God doesn't want you to do. But always remember, you don't have to do those things. You might lose some benefits in this world, but who cares? Because you have everything that you need in heaven. We're not here to please the world. And it's going to get worse and worse. I see it. But it's okay. And next week, you will see how it is okay. Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The true church will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, by non-Christians. Revelation chapter 11 verse 2, leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the nations. And they will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months. The world which are not measured will tread underfoot the church for 42 months. We studied this during the Wednesday Bible study. 42 months, which is 3.5 years, which is the church age. The times and time and a half of time. The church age is the period of sufferings for the church. Yes, it is a picture of judgment, and it is truly judgment for the non-believers, but in Jesus Christ, it is no longer the judgment period for the church, but even though as we suffer, it is God's call to participate in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. God does not cause us to avoid sufferings, but in the suffering of His church, He is with her. Yes, we'll face many sufferings, but we live a joyous life in Jesus Christ. And yes, the sinful world surrounds us, but it is the world which will be receiving the judgment of God. Revelation chapter 20, verse 9. And they come up, this worldly army, the Satan's army, they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And what happens? And the fire came down from heaven and devoured them. That's the exact moment Jesus returns and punishes the world. Endure. That's the command. This is why true gospel is not welcomed by worldly people. Because it's not their desire to just endure suffering. They want God to get the sufferings out of the way. But God wants you to be like Christ. He wants you to participate in the sufferings of Christ. So how can He remove sufferings from your life if He wants you to participate in His suffering? But as you suffer, remember, God surrounds you. He protects you. Ultimately, you will not be destroyed. You are not going to receive the judgment of God. Well, let me end. So even as we see the world surrounding us, let us look at our spiritual reality in which we are surrounded by our God's glory and endure, even with joy, until our heavenly reality will be visibly consummated. Brothers and sisters, God loves you. And I could see it. Because I don't see anybody here who are so successful in this world. So in a way, you're suffering. And you are suffering. But it is okay. God also surrounds you to protect you. So at the end, everything will be okay. But you need to understand that God's judgment has begun, and His judgment is being poured. And you will see how strong that judgment will become. Maybe not in our lifetime, but it will get stronger and stronger. And we hope, well, at least I hope, that it will get really strong so I could see in my lifetime my Lord's face as He comes back to gather us into His kingdom. I like getting old. Because now, a lot of things that I had my focus on, I don't have to do that anymore. And as I got older and older, God gets rid of all the things I have to care for. Now I just focus on you, my church, and Jesus' return. And this worship reflects the reality of His return. Because this is exactly what's going to happen when He returns. He will gather us and we will worship Him forever and ever. I was talking to my wife as we're coming to this worship today. And we're just so thankful. And, you know, there are many problems, many sufferings. But we don't have to dwell on those things. But this worship represents His return. The true Armageddon. And you desire to participate. So starting Monday, we look forward to coming together as God's people to worship again. Yes, I could worship individually. Yes, I could worship at home. But this is different, brothers and sisters. This is covenantal worship. This is worshiping God together with you. Because personal worship is not full reality of heaven. But the corporate worship is. And God is my witness that it is true in my heart. I long to see you again next Lord's Day to worship Him together. And I pray for you that you will feel the same way. That even as you wait for Jesus' return, you will wait for this Sunday worship. Because it points to the same reality. I pray that God will fill your hearts with this desire to gather with the brothers and sisters and worship God. Because that is what heaven is all about. And if we truly love heaven, you have to love this worship with brothers and sisters. This is why, I'm not saying if you're not doing it my way, you're wrong or you're bad. But it's just me. That's why I always come back Saturday, even if I have a vacation. Because I don't want to miss this. Because I don't care where I will be or what I will be doing. This is way, way better than anything I could do. And if you don't feel like that, if you don't understand that, I pray for you. Because This is why we live and this is why we're saved. To worship our God together with brothers and sisters. And declare to the whole world the victory that our Lord has already accomplished. That He is our Master, our God. So we come before Him on this glorious day to praise Him and give Him all the glory. To let people know that Jesus Christ has accomplished it all. And I want to show that. I want to show my Lord has accomplished this victory over sin, victory over this world. So anybody who wants to participate in the worldly affairs, I want to show him that's not what today is about. Because today is about declaring to the whole world the victory of Jesus. That He overcame the world. That He destroys sin and Satan. So why would I sin if He destroyed it and I had, that is my faith? Especially on this Lord's Day. Brothers and sisters, I pray that God will bless you. So that you will live to worship your God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that even as we read about Your judgment upon this world, it doesn't bring us fear, but joy. Not that the world is being destroyed, but that means that Your coming is very soon. We long to see You. We long to be with You, face to face, and have that sweet fellowship with You forever and ever. Oh yes, the world will never understand. They might even think we're crazy. But yes, we are crazy for You, for our Lord Jesus Christ. We love You, God, for loving us first. Thank You, and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.